feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. If you have been with us recently here on Searchlight, you know that we are in the midst of some intriguing and exciting stories. These stories are from the book of Judges and illustrate practical spiritual truths for us. Today we are going to look at a famous story about Gideon. This is a well-known story, but God has a way of bringing freshness and new understanding to old stories. As we look at the story of Gideon today, we will focus on understanding the kind of person that God uses for His glory. And the kind of person that God uses is shocking. With that in mind, let's now join Pastor John for today's study.
The book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Oprah, pardon me. I misunderstood that. Which was in Oprah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon and said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." In this section of Scripture, we read how the Midianites were dominating the people of Israel. And the people of Israel were in great fear and real trepidation of the men from Midian. What would happen is these Midianites would let the Israelites do all of the farming and all of the harvesting. And then when the men of Israel would winnow the grain, that is, go to a mountain peak or a hilltop or a high place, and with pitchforks they would throw the grain into the air, and the wind would come, and the wind would then blow the chaff away. And the good stuff, the grain, would fall to the ground, being heavier, you see. And they winnowed their grain that way, hour by hour, day after day. And you would need to be in a place where the wind could blow, so you would pick a hilltop or a high place. The problem was the Midianites, the bad guys, they would see the Israelites winnowing their grains and would wait until the Israelites did all the hard work. And then the men of Midian would cruise in, and with their swords and with their superior military ability, would just take the grain away from the Israelites, you see. Rip them off. Take the grain. And the men of Israel would obviously be deeply discouraged and depressed and disappointed because they did all this work. And they would go to the high place, the hilltop, the elevated spot, and winnow the grain, and the Midianites would come time and time again and just take their hard work away, the grain that they winnowed that day. Well, one guy, Gideon, the guy in our story, he had an idea. Hey, I'm going to winnow my grain in the wine press. That is, wine presses were in lower spots, not elevated places. Wine presses were in lower places where grapes were taken and the juice was pressed out. So this guy, Gideon, was kind of smart when he said, I'm afraid of the Midianites. These guys intimidate us and they rip us off. So I'm going to take the grain that I'm gathering and I'm going to take it to the wine press where usually the wine press would be surrounded by trees. It would always be, usually be a shady spot, you see. So he would winnow his grain there. It couldn't be done as easily, and it wouldn't be done as effectively as in a higher spot. But the Midianites wouldn't see him do that, you see. So he's showing a certain degree of ingenuity here, of cleverness. Something which the world values greatly. The world values in our culture, in our economy, in our country, cleverness and ingenuity, entrepreneurial skill. The world says, man, it's the clever guy that gets ahead. It's the clever guy that's going to win out in the end. It's kind of like those guys, those three shopkeepers, those three store owners. And they all three had clothing stores that were in adjoining storefronts. The three guys had three clothing stores that were adjoined together. And the guy on the left end of that three-store little mall, that three-store front, he put a big sign up saying, close out. Everything on sale. Well, the guy on the right side, the other side, said, He hung a sign that said, everything today, 70% off, you see. And the guy in the middle thought, man, the guy on the left is having a closeout. The guy on the right is having 70% off. So he hung a sign in the middle, and it simply said, main entrance here. Clever. Good thinking. And, you know, we value those things in our culture, and understandably so, but, you know, Gideon was here, although he was being a little bit clever and somewhat ingenious in winnowing his granary in the wine press instead of on the higher spot, you see. The real reason, though, was because he was a chicken. He was a coward. He wasn't willing to deal with the Midianite men that might come his way on any given day. He was afraid. And as story unfolds, as you read it through, you're going to see that this guy is real reluctant and full of fear, and he's not a courageous man innately. And that's why when the angel of the Lord comes to him in verse 12, and the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is a name for Christ, Jesus. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. That is, before he came to the earth, as the babe of Bethlehem, as the man from Galilee, he would appear at various times in the Old Testament. This is one of those places when you see that phrase, the angel of the Lord, you can always know that it's an appearance of Christ. And the angel of the Lord is often worshipped and sacrificed to, as you will see, has to be the Lord. Other angels couldn't and wouldn't accept that kind of adulation or worship. So it's the Lord that comes to Gideon. Hey, Gideon, he says, the Lord, Jehovah, your father, Yahweh, is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now check this out. You courageous guy, you brave man. What's he doing? He's hiding away in the wine press that day, doing his work to stay out of sight of the Midianite. He's not a man of valor, and he realizes that fact as he begins to talk to the Lord. And he says, me? He says, I'm from the tribe of Manasseh, one of the lesser, least important tribes. And my family is the least important family in the tribe of Manasseh. I'm from a lesser tribe. My family is the least important part of the tribe. And he goes on to say, and me personally, why would you call me that? He says, I'm the least in my family. So I'm from an unimportant tribe, and my family's the least important family in this unimportant tribe, and I'm the least of my family. I'm at the bottom of the barrel, you see. And I'm hiding away here in the wine press. Why would you come to me? Why would you greet me in this way? Interesting. Most of you know the story of what's going to happen in those coming days. The Lord is going to use Gideon incredibly, powerfully, miraculously to overcome the Midianites. Here's the story. You'll read about it. It's an amazing thing. The Midianites had a massive army in the valley below. A massive army that numbered 132,000 warriors. Seasoned veterans. Battle-hardened warriors. Awesome men. 135,000 Midianite men were there in the valley. And God raised up Gideon. You the man. Me? Not me. There's a mistake. I'm from Manasseh, from the least family, and I'm the least in my family. You got to be kidding me. And Gideon goes through this conversation with the Lord that you'll read about. He puts fleeces out before the Lord. He has doubts about, did he really hear from the Lord? I mean, he goes through this, but the Lord says, you are the man. Okay. Sound the trumpet, Gideon. He blows the trumpet. And the men of Israel realize it's a clarion call. The trumpet is sounding to gather together to do battle against the Midianites that have been causing them such heartbreak and such havoc in the nation. And it says there that the men that gathered around Israel were 32,000. Now, 32,000 Israelites against 135,000 Midianites. 32,000 Israelites that wouldn't be armed very well at all against 135,000 Midianites that were armed to the teeth. The odds aren't good. And the Lord looks at Gideon and says, Gideon, you have 32,000 men here. It's too many. What? It's 32,000 of us unarmed, poorly trained, ill-equipped Israelites against 135,000 Shaquille O'Neals. Lord, what's the deal? There's too many. There's too many. Too many? Uh-huh. Tell the men, all those that are fearful or faint-hearted, to go home. Dismiss them. Really? Yes, Gideon. He looks at the 32,000 men that gathered around him and said, okay, you guys, if anybody here is a little worried or kind of anxious, go home. 22,000 immediately stood up and left. 22,000 of the 32,000 stand up and say, okay, see you later, Gideon. And they went on their way. 10,000 are left. Gideon is wondering, what in the world is going on, Lord? You call me a mighty man of valor. I'm a big chicken. And you know the discussion we've already been having, and you'll read about it, gang. I have this problem believing, and 32,000 did show up, and I just dismissed all but 10,000, 22,000 left and went their way today? Lord, 10,000 men? And the Lord says, Gideon, there's still too many. What? There's still too many. Take them down to the springs there where the water flows and put them to the test. And Gideon, have them get a drink of water. And the ones that go down on all fours and put their mouths right in the river, in the spring, and the little brook that flows therefrom. Oh, by the way, we go there when we go to Israel. It's a great place. The spring comes bubbling up and a stream comes flowing out. Those men that go on all fours and put their face in the water, dismiss them. And those that kind of hunch down a bit and lap it up in this way with a cup made from their hand and lap up the water from their hand like a dog. You keep them. Okay. Fellas, Gideon said, take five. Water break. Time to get refreshed. Take a drink. And the 10,000 men lined up along that creek, that brook that flows from the spring there. And it says that 9,700. 9,700 got down on all fours and began to drink the water. 300 men took their cup, or cupped their hand, I should say, and lapped it out this way. Gideon must have thought, oh no, that leaves me with 300 men. 300 men against 135,000 Midianite soldiers. This is crazy. 300 men. What's going on there? The Lord is showing you and telling me something very important. And that is, while the world may value ingenuity and creativity and education and all kinds of abilities, and the world ought to value those things, they're not necessarily valued in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Jot this down. I'll read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen. And things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, 28, and 29. And that's why Paul said previously, in verse 26 of the same chapter, you see your calling, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Look around, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. You don't see a lot of wise men or noble men or mighty men in the eyes of the world. God uses the weak things to confound the strong, the foolish things that the world says, hey, God would say, I'm going to use them. I was down at a conference this past week in Southern California sharing with a group of pastors down there. As we were sharing together, as I was talking with the fellas, as we were hanging out, it was cracking us all up. Because these are guys like you and me. These are guys that aren't educated in seminary. In fact, most of them didn't even go to college. In fact, a lot didn't even finish high school. But they're pastoring churches that are numbering in the thousands in many cases. And changing the face of what church is around the world presently. But they're not men that have PhDs, you know. They're not men that have all kinds of fancy degrees. They're just guys like you and me, people like us, who are in the world's eyes foolish and unqualified. What's your credentials? Where were you ordained? Where are your degrees? Well, you know, don't have any. I got through 10th grade and, you know, or I went to college, was a PE major, whatever it might be. But God's using me. I don't know why the guys would be forced to say, just simply to show that God is in control. He gets the glory. He's doing what he wants to do in a way that the world can't figure out. Why does God want the glory? I'll tell you why. God says, I'm going to use the illogical. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to use men like Gideon, men like John, men like you. I'm going to use people that are the least in their family, from the least tribe, and they're afraid, and they're not ready in the world's eyes, or even in their own eyes, frankly. But they're people that are going to rely on me and believe in me and take steps of faith in obedience to me. And I'm going to use them that I, God says, might get the glory. God wants to use you and use me. We say, well, I'm not qualified. I don't have the education. Hey, Gideon felt that way. And now numerically, the men around him were 300 in number. Yeah, but you say, but those 300 were sharp. They were sharp because the other guys, the 9,700, they put their face in the water, you see. But the 300, they stayed there and were looking around vigilantly, making sure that the enemy wasn't coming. So they cupped their hand and they were really there, you know, on the watch. They were there plugged in. They were there. These guys were the sharp 300 commandos that God could use, the elite, the Green Berets, the X-Force, or whatever it might be. I used to think that. For years I taught that. Well, that these guys, the 300, were guys that were like this, bringing the water up to their face because they were watching for the enemy. But that goes against the whole story, folks. God used Gideon, who says, me? I'm a chicken. And God used the unlikely, the unworthy, the unpredictable person, and he narrows it down to three. Who were these 300? I suggest to you, these 300 guys were so fat and so old, they couldn't get down. These were the guys that were broken down. These were the guys that just, and I'm getting, you can relate to that, some of you. I mean, you got to scoop it up. The 9,700 could get down. You know, they were there drinking it up. But the old guys, the fat guys, the guys with bad backs and bad knees, they could just come. That's what's happening here, folks. This isn't the elite. These are the weak, the foolish things. The guys that you would say, the 300, please, you go. 9,700, at least we might have some kind of a chance here. But God says, no, I want to use the fat, old, broken down guys. The guys that can't even bend down, can't even get on the ground. That fits the story. I'm convinced now that that's exactly what is happening. That fits the whole story. First, Gideon is chosen. Then the numbers go down to 9,700. That number is winnowed down even further to the guys that can't bend down. You're the warriors we're going to use, you see. God would say that day. Why? That he might get all the glory. Why? Because God knows if you put glory, confidence, or if you put your stock in any person who you think, oh man, he is together, or she is sharp, or they really have it all together with their educational degrees and with all of their training and all of their creativity and all the rest. If you put your confidence in men, any man, every man will ultimately disappoint you. They will not be there in the way that you hoped they would. They will not come through for you in the way that you think they should, because all of flesh is flawed, but not God. God is not flawed. And God would say, I want you to glory in me, so I'm going to use the foolish things, the base things, the weak things to confound the wise. Why? That no flesh should glory in my presence. That all the glory will go to me, that people will be impressed with me, they'll look to me, they'll keep their eyes focused on me, and as they do, they're never going to be disappointed, for I alone, you see, am holy.
That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? We tend to think that God should use the clever or well-educated or charismatic, but this isn't God's way. If he used that type of person, then other people would begin to look to them, and they would eventually be disappointed. But if we look to God, we will never be disappointed. Pastor John will conclude this teaching on our next program. He has an important application for each of us, so please be sure to join us then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
The Searchlight radio program is available as a podcast. This means that you can download the program to your mobile phone, computer, tablet, or other mobile device and listen to it at your convenience. For complete information, please check out the podcast page on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is an independent ministry that is not financially supported by any church or organization. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.